Good morning. We'd like to welcome all of you who have gathered here this day for worship. Certainly this is a day of celebration in the church. We celebrate, first of all, well, we want to welcome all those who serve as who are fathers or serve as father figures. On this day, we rejoice and give thanks to God for all his blessing. Today is also Trinity Sunday. And so that's what you'll notice, the one change in the bulletin, where instead of the Nicene Creed, we will be using the Athanasian Creed. That is the one change to the service. And I think all of the other announcements are in the bulletin. So I just call your attention to them. Reminder, you've got a ice cream social that'll be coming up, and all kinds of things as we come into this summer season. We pray that the Lord will certainly bless you and be with you throughout the season. So let's begin our worship today singing hymn 507, Holy, Holy, Holy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We will join together in the responsive speaking of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouth of babes and infants,
you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers,
the moon and the stars which you have set in place,
what is man that you are mindful of him?
And the Son of Man that you care for him.
Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings
and crowned him with glory and honor.
You have given him dominion over the works of your hands.
You have put all things under his feet,
all sheep and oxen,
and also the beasts of the field,
the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea,
whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, most high in the glory of God.
you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the Festival of the Holy Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man." The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, where there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Gospel, which also serves as the text for our meditation. From John, the Jews answered Jesus, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee.
Please be seated. I know normally you'd be standing for the Nicene Creed, but for today, on this Trinity Sunday, I invite you to turn to the insert that was also provided regarding the Athanasian Creed, traditionally used on Trinity Sunday. This is early in the 4th century, a new teaching appeared which claimed that Jesus was not true God. Arius, the North African priest who first proposed this theory, was extremely persuasive, and soon the controversy was so widespread that a church council was called to settle the matter. And out of that meeting in AD 325 came the Nicene Creed, which clearly confesses Jesus to be true God. That creed, which was expanded in AD 381, in order to defend the divinity of the Holy Spirit, is still widely used today as a confession of the triune faith. But despite the clarity of the Nicene Creed, the controversy continued for some time, and toward the end of the 5th century, another creed was written that marveled at the mystery of the Trinity in a way that no creed had ever done. And though attributed to Athanasius, a 4th century opponent of Arius, this anonymous creed clearly came at a later stage in the debate. And the Athanasian Creed proclaims that its teachings concerning the Holy Trinity and our Lord's incarnation are the Catholic faith. In other words, this is what the true church of all times and all places has confessed. And more than 15 centuries later, the church continues to confess the truth. And confident that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has given himself for our salvation. And we will join in responsive speaking of the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal,
the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet, there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated, or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three Lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
Thus, there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages.
And he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the consumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ,
who suffered for our salvation,
descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies
and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. I'm just looking around to see if there are any children or anybody that feels young at heart. Then I guess we will continue our worship with the singing of the sermon hymn 506, Glory Be to God the Father. Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text is the gospel lesson from John chapter 8. I would just like to share one verse where our Lord Jesus says, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. This is our text. In the second book of J.R.R. Tolkien's Ring Trilogy, he introduces a fantasy character named Treebeard. And Treebeard looks like a tree, with the exception that he can walk and talk and feel emotions. He's a member of a race that loves and cares for trees. He is one of the Ents. And as Treebeard explains his culture to some of the other characters in the book, one of the things that he says is, if something is worth saying, it is worth taking a long time to say. So I think Treebeard would like the Athanasian Creed. It does take a long time to read it. So long that most congregations only read it once a year on this Trinity Sunday. Now, if you are one of those who thinks that this old and honorable creed is just a little bit on the long side, then I think you should be very thankful for theologians who came up with the words Trinity and Triune. I mean, if it wasn't for those words, you'd have to haul out the Athanasian Creed every time you wanted to talk about the community of three persons who are one God. But I guess I would say that those words, Trinity and Triune, they save a lot of time in theological discussions. Whenever we want to talk about the true God, who is a community of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there are those people who try to tell us that because the word Trinity isn't in the Bible, that God isn't a three-person community. And they would argue that because the word Triune doesn't exist in the Bible, that the whole idea of the Triune God is wrong. You know, that would be a little bit like saying that everything went flying off into space before Isaac Newton described the operation of gravity and gave us words and mathematics that we could talk about it. The fact is, things don't come into existence because we have words for them. In fact, I think the opposite holds true. We human beings, we come up with words for things because they already exist. So it is that theologians came up with the words Trinity and Triune so that we can talk about God without having to say God, who is three persons who are co-equal, co-eternal, uncreated, and so forth, every time that we want to discuss the things of God. I mean, even think about it, but even the Jewish leaders in today's gospel were quite ready to allow that God is a community of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, after all, the Psalms declare, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you." And when the Bible describes the beginning of creation, what does it say in Genesis 1? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And the fact is that the Jewish leaders knew those words well. They just didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God that the psalmist was talking about. In fact, that's the problem that a lot of people still have today. I mean, most people are quite ready to admit that there was a teacher from Nazareth named Jesus. Many are willing to admit that he had some good teachings and that he set a fine moral example for us to follow. But nevertheless, they reject the idea that Jesus is actually God. On the other hand, the Bible tells us that Jesus is God in many ways. Some of them are very obvious, others are quite subtle. I mean, when John the Baptist sent disciples to Jesus with the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus let his actions do his talking for him. And Jesus demonstrated his divinity with many amazing signs. I mean, think about it. He had chats with the weather, and the storms became calm. He took a boy's sack lunch of a few rolls and sardines and fed thousands of people. He cured diseases by telling the diseases to leave. And he even brought the dead back to life. And as John the evangelist wrote in the gospel, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And so we have an event in today's gospel lesson. And the actions of the Jewish leaders reminds us that Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And so they picked up stones to throw at him. I mean, the Jewish leaders were ready to stone Jesus to death because of his statement. They tell us that Jesus was once again claiming to be God. You see, Jesus wasn't using bad grammar. When Moses asked God to tell him his name, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." So with those words, "I am," Jesus is identifying himself as the person who appeared to Moses from the burning bush. He's saying that he is the one who is, who was, excuse me, and who always will be. And his enemies, they obviously understood his meaning because they were ready to kill him for blasphemy. The Jewish leaders rejected Jesus' teaching. They called it blasphemy. They wanted to kill him, but it wasn't the right time, so Jesus hid himself from this lynch mob and he left the temple. I mean, we know that later on the time would be right and that Jesus would allow mere men to nail him to a cross. The Jewish leaders would once again accuse him of blasphemy and they would convince the Romans to crucify him. And on that cross, the Son of God, who is also 100% human, would sacrifice himself unto death for the sins of the world, for your sins and mine. And as Jesus, the Son of God, died on that cross, he purchased forgiveness, life, and salvation for all people. And Jesus' enemies, we know that they couldn't keep him in the grave. He rose from the dead and proclaimed his victory. And with that proclamation, you and I, we have the promise of eternal life with God. And you know, even the people who do not right now believe that Jesus is God, they have forgiveness that's set aside for them. It's like it's on a layaway plan, waiting for the day when the Holy Spirit will bring their spirits to life and will work faith in them. Then they also will experience the love of the triune God. And they can look forward to that day when they see God face to face in heaven. But those who reject faith and forgiveness until the day they die, they're never going to experience that sweet forgiveness that the Son of God has set aside for them. that forgiveness, that life and salvation that Jesus Christ already earned for them will remain unused. Instead, they will experience the full, dreadful consequences that they earned with their own sins. And they'll spend eternity paying for those sins in hell because they will have rejected the only gift that can save them. So why is it so important that we understand that Jesus is God on this Trinity Sunday? Well, if Jesus wasn't God, all he'd be would be a cult leader who started a false religion that deceived billions of people. And we who gather here on this day and in churches around the world, we'd be the most pathetic of people because we'd be looking forward to a salvation that isn't there. But I'm going to tell you today that Jesus is God, that he is that second person of the Trinity who's also human, born of the Virgin Mary, that he saved us from sin with his perfect life and with his sacrificial death. And he promises us new life with his resurrection and his ascension. One day, we'll also get to see him face to face. And all of those others who believe will live with him forever. And so today we celebrate that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Savior of the world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Gracious and loving God, receive these offerings that we bring this day. Lord, you so richly bless us. Lord, may these offerings be used for the work of your church and the proclamation of your word. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would work through that word to one day bring all people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Blessed Father, from you comes all that is, and we are forever indebted to your grace for the gift of life. Receive this day our special thanks for the redemption that you have provided in Jesus Christ, your Son, and for the work of the Spirit in bringing us to know you by faith and to be adopted as your children by baptism into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, your Son was the voice that spoke all things into existence, and your grace still preserves all that you have made. You did not abandon your people, but have delivered us by the blood of Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may know your word and keep it in faith through all the days of our earthly pilgrimage, until we are joined with faithful Abraham, with patriarch, prophet, apostle, and evangelist in your presence forevermore. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, you have established marriage and sanctified the home to be a place of blessing and love. Give to parent and child the courage to love as you have loved us. Unite them in their common life by your Spirit to know Jesus and serve him. Bless the single with chastity, comfort the widowed, protect the orphan, and defend the helpless. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, you give all authority to your Son, Jesus Christ, and yet you call us to honor our worldly rulers. Give wisdom to your people to render rulers their due, always under Christ, by whom all kings reign. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, grant healing and patience in every affliction to the ailing, the dying, and those who are in need. Especially, Lord, we raise up before you Dwayne and Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Bill and Gary, Bryston and Joe, Kim and Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Chelsea, Norma and Ron, Leo and Marisol, Tom and Vicky, and all of those others, Lord, who we also raise before you in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, we also want to raise up prayers of joy and thanksgiving this day. Lord, we remember in our prayers Marge Thieroff, as this week she will be celebrating her 92nd birthday. And Lord, we thank and praise you for the gift of life, for all of the blessings that you have shown to her. And Lord, we ask your continued strength and blessing to be with her at all times. And so we give thanks to you, Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, you give us your Son's body and blood, that we may taste and see that you are good. Grant that we may use your gifts faithfully and frequently draw near to your table in true repentance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, renew and reform and renew us by your word and spirit. Where we lack love, build us up in Christ. And where we are distracted, give us a single focus upon our Lord Jesus, that at last we may be found faithful, be reunited with those who have gone before us to your nearer presence, and enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb in his kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood is named, we give you thanks for earthly fathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly life and love of your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and give them the comfort of your absolution over all their shortcomings. Gather us together with all our fathers to your eternal household through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right, so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. The peace of the Lord be with you now and always. Amen. We rise and join in the singing of the Nunc Dimittis.
Thou hast prepared me for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles.
the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We'll join in singing the closing hymn, 923, Almighty Father, bless the world.